fairs and markets, and even their cities, if you can call them that, are no more than a collection of houses on top of a massive precipitous height called an amber. Magdala, the goal of Napier's expedition, was like that. You don't need battlements when you have sheer rock walls below you. So, there you have the Abs. A pretty rum lot, first brought to our notice in the 1770s by a Scotch eccentric, whom nobody believed. Mind you, he was pretty rum himself, fooling about with the Barbary corsairs, seeking the source of the Nile, and finally breaking his neck while helping a lady downstairs, which shows that even the most seasoned mad adventurers can't be too careful. Very few Europeans had ventured into Abyssinia before him, for it was a traveller's nightmare, rugged and desolate beyond description, racked by perpetual civil wars, in which the tribal leaders fought for the supreme lordship. One of these, Ras Ali, had made himself king of most of the country by 1840, but made the mistake of giving his daughter, Tewabech the Beautiful, in marriage to an ambitious young mercenary, Likasa, the son of a woman who sold tapeworm medicine, which the Abs take in quantity as a result of their partiality to raw beef. Enough said. But he was a first-class soldier, clever, brave, and unscrupulous, and in no time he'd usurped the throne. While still a lad, he'd become convinced that he was the Messiah named in an old prophecy, and would become the greatest king on earth, master of all Ethiopia and Egypt. He would scourge the infidels out of Palestine, purge Jerusalem of its defilers, the Muslims, and would be called Theodore. So he changed his name accordingly, and proclaimed himself Emperor and King of Kings. He was young, handsome, muscular, literate, unlike most Abs, and full of reforming notions, like abolishing slavery and generally improving the lot of the commonalty. If he had a tendency to berserk rages, butchering his enemies, holding mass executions, flogging people to death or cutting off their limbs and leaving them for the wild beasts, well, savage despots can't afford to behave like Tiny Tim. His queen was a moderating influence, and so were two Englishmen, Plowden, our consul, and Bell, a soldier of fortune who became Theodore's chamberlain. Unfortunately, all three died almost simultaneously, the two Britons cut up by rebels, and Tewabech of natural causes. Theodore massacred the rebels in reprisal, but with the three best influences in his life gone, he began to behave like a real absolute monarch at last, taking to drink and concubines, and committing even more atrocities than before. He married again, but since his bride was the daughter of a rival claimant to the throne whom Theodore had humiliated and imprisoned, the marriage was not a success. We sent out a new consul, Captain Cameron, who presented Theodore with two pistols from Queen Victoria. This so delighted him that he wrote a letter proposing that he send an envoy to London, and remarking that he'd wiped out Plowden's murderers to win the friendship of Her Majesty. You'd have thought he couldn't say fairer than that, but would you believe that those monumental half-wits at the F.O. didn't give his letter to the Queen, or even acknowledge it? Why? Oh, other things, like Bertie the Bounder's wedding to Alexandria of Denmark, were occupying their lordship's attention. And who was this distant African upstart, anyway? Or, quite possibly, some chinless oaf simply mistook it for his wine bill and tossed it into a pigeonhole. God knows how our foreign affairs haven't been one long catalogue of disaster. Stay, though. They have, haven't they? What followed was inevitable, with a short-tempered, arrogant barbarian monarch who thought he was God's anointed. After a year of being ignored, he arrested Cameron, who'd visited Egypt, Theodore's mortal enemy, to investigate cotton supplies, which we were liable to need with the American Civil War disrupting our business. Then a missionary called Stern, who was trying to convert Abyssinian Jews to Christianity, if you'll believe it, published offensive remarks about Theodore. Result? Cameron chained, flogged, and stretched on the rack, Stern brutally beaten, and two of his servants lashed to death with hippo-hide whips. Other Europeans arrested and bound with cords soaked so that they cut their limbs, missionaries forced to watch the death by torture of malefactors whose blood the executioners smeared on the horrified spectators, and so on, while the letter, whose delivery might have prevented these horrors,